You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. Okay, so today my guest is Gail Letts, and she's CEO and founder of Letts Consult. Gail, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate it.
So I'm going to tell you right now, I like on the Letts Consult, the two T's play off of your last name. Letts, two T's. Come on, I see you. I see you with the creative marketing.
Well, you know, it was interesting. When I first founded my company, I was going to call it Letts Consulting. And I had gone to a program, and there was a gentleman who was on the platform, on the dais, and he was speaking, and he made a comment. He's a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and he made a comment that he hates consultants. He's a very good friend of mine. And I thought, oh, then you know what? I'm not going to go with Letts Consulting. And I thought, okay, what else can I come up with? And it was like, wait a second, Letts Consult. Little spin on it, but I will tell you, we've gotten so much positive comments on the title of my company. It's been wonderful.
Wonderful. So we're here to talk today about the State of the Woman 2024 conference. How did this come all about? Talk to me.
So I was a longtime banker for 35 years, had an absolutely fabulous career. And in 2019, I decided to leave banking and start my own company. Having grown up in the banking world, and I started my career in the 1980s and rose up through leadership, there weren't a lot of women who were role models for me. There weren't many women above me as I was ascending the ladder. And as I moved throughout banking, I became president of a couple of different organizations, a couple of banks. What I realized was the value that I had, the experiences that I had, how important they were, and the support that I had gotten. The support was all from men. I had doors open for me. I had lessons, leadership lessons shared with me. The majority of my career had been spent with SunTrust, which is now Truist. And SunTrust just did a phenomenal job of investing in me. And I realized that not every woman has had that level of support. So started my own company. My company, we focus on talent, but I have a passion for helping women in business. So a large part of our mission is supporting the advancement and growth of women in business and putting on programs, sending out information, providing education, and finding ways to connect women to support each other better and be able to share leadership lessons. So 2019, when I left banking, one of my visions was to create a program, a conference for women where women could come together to be inspired, to know that and do more, they can be more, and they can achieve more. So we started the conference. Because of COVID, it got derailed a couple of years. Our first conference was in October of 2022, and it was phenomenally successful. And we had women on stage who told their stories about their journey to the C-suite and the fact that it wasn't easy and what they had to do to compromise on occasion, what they had to give up, the challenges that they had. But the lessons that they had learned, and we got such terrific feedback on it, stories, the honesty of the women who were on stage, the people were so impressed from our conference of how willing these women were to share their stories. But he said, can you run another conference? So this is going to be an annual event. Took off 23 with the conference only because we ran the first one at the end of 2022. And still, we're kind of in that coming out of COVID environment. We're not quite sure which direction COVID was going, but did decide to hold the conference, the second conference in 2024. We will be in Nashville at the Hermitage Hotel, which if you don't know anything about the Hermitage Hotel, first of all, so I'm all about women and understanding the history that we have had in moving forward. Tennessee is actually the state that gave us that positive vote for women to have the right to vote. The Hermitage Hotel is a block away from the state capitol building in Nashville, and it became the site, the headquarters for both the suffragists and the anti-suffragists. The suffragists wore yellow roses, the anti-suffragists wore red roses, and it became known as the War of the Roses. I And of course, you know, the women were given the right to vote through Tennessee. And the Hermitage Hotel since then has held so much true to their story about how they support women in history. They were ranked in 2023 as by Condé Nast Traveler as one of the 6 hotels in the United States that has positively influenced women's history. So going to Nashville in April, we've got a phenomenal lineup of speakers who are going to share stories with us and talk about topics that involve career development, business transitions, health and wellness, and financial empowerment and independence.
Yeah. And I want to go further into the speakers and talk a little bit more about that. But before we do, I want to talk about 2019. What was that like leaving banking and going out on your own? Like, that was that tricky? Like, how was that taking that leap?
I knew it was time for me to move out of banking. And I had sat or chaired numerous boards that dealt with entrepreneurs. And to be perfectly honest with you, I thought, if I could see all these people creating businesses, I could do it. I had no idea, Adam, how tough it is.
Oh, my gosh. You know how many people I've heard say that, especially from the finance world? That's, by the way, Gail, my background, for my long-term listeners, they know my background's in finance as well. And I was almost in 14 years in that business. And my client base was business owners. So I used to think the same thing you thought. Go ahead, continue. I'm just smiling ear to ear over here. Tell me more, Gail.
It was absolutely amazing to me. And when I realized, so here I'd gone from a huge organization of, you know, 40,000. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I was spoiled. I had so many resources at my fingertips. I realized that when I went out and created my own company, I was going to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. And up to me how I was going to put it together, what resources I was going to invest in, how I was going to put together a team, and on me. And I will tell you, and then, of course, COVID hit.
Yeah.
So trying to build a brand with COVID when you couldn't go out anywhere was incredibly tough. But I will tell you, it was wonderful in a way because I could sit back and I was putting together a team, a small team. And I built a team out of, you know, it was never designed to be exclusively women, but that's who I attracted.
Mm-hmm.
Who wanted to come back into the workforce, women who were semi-retired. And we would just talk through what should the strategy look like? How should we refine it? How should we deliver it? So at the time we started emerging out of COVID, we were pretty clear that, you know, Let's Consult is about talent. And it's preparing and working with businesses, creating today's, developing today's workforce for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so we do recruitment, we do leadership development, we do executive coaching, we do culture assessment. But so much of my foundation is to help women. So kind of going back to what was it like?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I had all these resources at my fingertips that I had no clue.
Did you go through this? I went through this, and I'm just curious if you did. Because I grew up in that system of large firms in finance. I mean, my first firm, Raymond James, and Vanguard Group, Charles Schwab, before I started my own RIA, which, again, I'm not in that business anymore, but I'm media full time. But I took it for granted. I thought that, and when I think about, especially, let's say, young Adam, you know, just out of college, a little chip on his shoulder, thinks he knows something. Young Adam who was in a meeting and had an opinion on how a huge organization should be run. I look back at myself and I'm like, oh my God, I took all of that for granted. All of the, so, you know, I wasn't like arrogant or anything like that. I just mean, like, I didn't really understand how much work people had already done to lay the groundwork for the resources that I had the privilege of using. Really.
That's exactly what I went through. And there were many days that, you know, first, when I first launched my company, it was that, oh, this is really fun and I can do this and so forth. You know, it comes to a year when all of a sudden things are not going the way that you want and you have to sit back and say, oh, wait a second, do I just throw in the towel? You know, or do I keep moving forward? And throwing in the towel wasn't in my DNA.
Yep.
But I had to learn, you know. And when you think of the 2019 to the 2022 timeframe, when shut down, technology exploded, you know, I had no clue how to do Zoom before I found my own company before we entered COVID. I had no idea how to design a website. I had no idea what a, you know, just all the different terminologies with social media, and had to learn all of that where I had a department that did all that for me.
Yep. That was called an email or a requisition, a request on a system that I would complain about because the user interface wasn't nice enough. Poor Adam. It wasn't nice enough.
It was so easy to complain about things.
Exactly.
So when I started the company, I went through all of that. It was really hard. What I realized was, as much as I am passionate about supporting the advancement and growth of women in business, probably one of the best things that I can do is to try to be a role model. So for the days I really wanted to throw in the towel because it was just a little too tough, and again, you're not going to be a quitter, you know, because there were a lot of people watching me, and I came to realize how many people were following me. And it was like, you know what, Gail, I'm going to figure this out. So that's where I am today, and I'm so proud of it.
And that first conference, so as if, you know, launching a business, all that, that's not tough enough. Now, you know, launching conferences and running conferences, it's a very visible position, and you do really put yourself out there. Maybe you knew that in advance before, you know, doing a conference, but I didn't know, like, what that entailed. I just thought, oh, we hold a conference and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I didn't really understand the complexities. And now, I mean, we host hundreds of events, so now I do. But I'm talking, you know, go 8 years ago when we started this business, myself and the other co-founder, Chirag, he came from the event space and knew about those things. I didn't. I was, again, super corporate like yourself. What was that like, that first conference, like putting that together?
You know, I had this thought process, which was build it and they will come.
Mine was send an email and pray that they respond and somebody cares to come. Go ahead, please.
It was interesting when so I ran a lot of programs for the bank that I was, but I always had a big brand behind me. Mm-hmm. What I come to realize was you don't just run out with a conference and throw your brand on it. You have to build your brand first.
Oh,
and
good
point. I really was naive in thinking that, you know, if I put fabulous speakers on stage, everybody's going to want to come to this conference. You know, they're going to be, you know, bursting at the door, pounding on it, saying, I want to be in the room.
Well, Gail's going to be there. I mean, they should be saying that. Jeez.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Duh.
That's what I thought, only to find out how much work it is. The event part of it, the logistics part, you know, I always loved watching that and understanding it. But getting people to understand why they should come to your conference, meaning how to promote it, I mean, without a doubt, the social media part of this. And if you can't get up to speed on social media, you're dead. You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work.
I'm always gratified when it comes to conferences that somebody would, like, our first conference. So we'd already hosted a ton of events, and, you know, we have, let's say, you know, 25 to 50 people. We can fill that room up in our sleep, fortunately, in the LA market, because that's where we're based. But that being said, and we'll always be over to capacity on that type of thing, but that being said, a full, in this case, one-day conference, when I initially sent the first email, and I wasn't joking. That wasn't a joke. I did just send and pray. I was like, all right, where I went to another conference, and I was grappling with that same thought of what you just said. Like, is the brand big enough? Did we build the brand enough to where people would want to come? And I remember sending out that email, and I told Chirag, I'm like, all right, Chirag, we got to do a conference this year. Like, we got some months left. We can probably fit it in within the next 3-4 months. That's enough leeway to see if this thing is going to work. Let's do it. And when I say let's do it, that means he's going to do it. So that being said, he took on the job. But I sent the email to kind of test our audience and see if we would. And I was just... It's also kind of, in my opinion, a test to see, like, if your audience is, if you're, like, how much value, like, if you're truly connecting with your audience. Because showing up in person nowadays, and I'm talking post-COVID, like, maybe before COVID, people would test events or just go because they were bored. But post-COVID, getting people to go out and to show up to something, like, it's a commitment for myself too. Like, even to see a movie in theater, right, versus watching it at home, that's a commitment. I feel like our habits have changed. So, like, when you threw the fact that you're going on, you know, multiple years of your conference, I just want to congratulate you, because that's not easy to do. I just want to say congrats, because I know the work that goes on behind that. And for those that are listening to this, if you haven't thrown one, next time you do go to a conference, just understand that there's a lot that goes behind creating that experience behind the scenes for you.
Yep, a lot of risk, an awful lot of risk.
Let's talk about the upcoming conference. So give me some dates. Let's talk about speakers. Like, what can we expect for the programming?
We have some phenomenal speakers. So the dates, first of all, are April 7th through the 9th, 2024. And again, it will be in Nashville at the Hermitage Hotel. Mm-hmm. We're going to start off with, we're teaming up two women who are incredibly dynamic. We have Lisa Sun, who is a CEO and author. She actually founded a clothing line in New York City called Gravitas. And she has also written a book that was just released called Gravitas, which are the 8 essential skills to be successful in business for women. And she actually does an awful lot of training on women and empowerment and confidence. She is teaming up with Meggie Palmer. Meggie is founder of a podcast called Pep Talk Her, which is all about gender pay equality. Meggie, CNBC, BBC journalist, co-editor for USA Today, phenomenal woman. When she was a correspondent, she's traveled all over the world. So she focuses a lot on pay equity across the world, and has fabulous insights into not just what's happening with American women, but what's happening outside of our borders. Those two are going to team up, and they're going to do a session on authentic confidence. And I'm really excited. They're two absolute phenomenal women. They're on stage all the time. They're national speakers, and we're very lucky to have them. Our next keynote is a woman by the name of Joanne Lipman. Joanne is an author and a journalist. She was a journalist with USA Today. Her first book was That's What She Said, which is how men and women communicate. And her newest book that she just released is called Next, which is The Power of Reinvention in Life and Work. And a lot of my friends have read it. I've got Next on my reading list, but people have said, you got to read this book. So she'll be our speaker. Our next keynote, really neat woman, Kelly Richmond Pope. Kelly was a CPA with Deloitte, and she helped uncover a $54 million embezzlement that occurred in a 20-year period of time. It was this woman in a treasury office who kind of nobody even noticed her, but she was embezzling all this money. And she was investing in this world-class equestrian lifestyle. So she, Kelly, produced the movie called All the Queen's Horses. And she is now a forensic accounting professor at DePaul University. And she's just released her book called Fool Me Once, which is about corporate lies and scams. Mm. And I can hear her. I've heard she's absolutely phenomenal. we then have Allison Ground. Allison is a director for a law firm called Troutman Pepper. And she's going to talk about ChatGPT and how it's going to change everything that we're doing and how you have to get on board. And then some of the legal ramifications.
Super timely topic.
And then our last keynote is Jennifer Winstell, who is Managing Director of Wealth Management for UBS. So our lineup of keynotes, and then we've also thrown in some workshops. So everybody who comes to our conference will get the opportunity to choose from 2 of 4 workshops. One is going to be on putting together an effective career plan. We have one on negotiating skills, which includes one of my favorite topics, which is how to negotiate salary. We have our third workshop is about effective mentorship programs. And then the fourth one is how to improve your online presence. So speaker workshops on the Monday night, we're going to have a little shop and sip at one of Nashville's women boutiques. We're just going to have fun, but hopefully have women walk away having made at least one new friend in a geography outside of where they normally live and be inspired by at least one of these stories from these phenomenal women.
So, Gail, I already, you know, sometimes when you ask a question, but you already have the answer to it, like you just gave me the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just to see if there's anything else you want to say. Why should women want to attend?
To be inspired. You know, I mentioned earlier, I had a great career. I absolutely loved my career. And I, you know, to all everybody, it was incredibly successful. I went to a conference in New York City in 2019. And the women who were on stage were inspiring. And I actually, I felt small. And I realized how I had become defined by what I saw around me every day, and that there were so many more possibilities than I ever imagined. And that's what I want out of this conference, is for women to come out of their normal geography, see women that they wouldn't normally see, and walk away with just that one aha moment, which is, you know what, I could do more, or I could be more, or I could be better, or I am really proud of what I've accomplished, and this is where I'm. So it's about inspiration.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And from, and I know, you know, conferences are not cheap to put on. It takes sponsors, it takes people, it takes collaboration. Why should businesses want to get involved and support the conference?
Well, first of all, we know that when you invest in people, your turnover rate is a lot lower. Women are frustrated and they are looking for employers, building companies where they will be valued. For a business, recognize that women face different challenges. This is not a male versus female situation at all. But women as mothers, as wives, you know, we end up taking on more of a portion of healthcare for families. And sometimes you're tired. You just want to throw in the towel. And seeing that attrition rate for women or women, you know, one of the greatest challenges we have for getting women into the C-suite is the fact that we're not seeing as many women promoted into that middle management ranks. And a lot of times women who, when they're presented with opportunities, and I will say I did this early on as well, we're presented with an opportunity and we think, I don't know that I can take on more responsibility because you know, I've got kids and so forth. It's not a matter of taking on more responsibility. You're being offered a promotion or have an opportunity for a promotion because you're good at what you're doing and there's a belief that you have the skills. It's not always about working harder. It is working smarter and using your God-given talents. So I want women to recognize that, you know, whatever they have as far as their possibility, to sell themselves short, not to take that next step, would be a mistake.
That makes so much sense. And when I think about just what you're talking about, some of the sacrifices and otherwise, I'll juxtapose this. I'm not saying you said this, so I'm saying this. You know, you kind of juxtapose that concept with maybe the traditional male experience of just for many just saying yes, right? Not necessarily always thinking about the back end. And I'm, again, speaking for myself here and just saying, yeah, of course. And just, you know, sign me up, right? So it's just, I don't know if that's a different, like, especially in finance specifically. That's what I'm talking to in my experience in finance is that I can very rarely think of a time when I would have said, let me see how this is going to affect the rest of, you know, it just wasn't in my thought process. Now I think I'm a little bit more evolved from my original primate finance youth, but now I see it and I see this, and especially being involved with organizations like yourselves and others and evolution of just thought process of also how to interact with others. So especially, I really think even I'll single out one, you did mention quite a few speakers and also but I will just sing one that I just think is going to be super relevant. And that's the workshop on negotiating equal pay or negotiating pay in general. I don't know if you use the word equal or not, but negotiating pay in general. Can you elaborate on just you can go as far as you like, I should say, on just that concept and what you hope people would expect out of going through a workshop like that? Because I think it's fascinating.
So, you know, when it comes to negotiating pay, it's really interesting. There are so many studies that say that when a woman negotiates pay, she is viewed as being aggressive, demanding, whereas it is common, I think it's something like 74% of HR executives, HR professionals, are expecting people to negotiate. It's how you negotiate that's really the key here. Number one, so you have to have the confidence to do it, and it's not a demand. And you don't go in saying, well, I'm underpaid, so I need this. You really have to prepare for the conversation. And you, when I do sessions,
it's a skill. It's a skill.
Mm-hmm. It is. And this is my favorite topic personally to speak on. When I talk people, and particularly women, about negotiating salary, we start off with emotional intelligence, the concept of emotional intelligence, and being able to check your emotion at the door. And when you go into salary negotiation or a salary discussion, having preparing for it, number one, having your facts well documented, so you have that piece of paper in front of you and you can speak from it from an unemotional standpoint, and then knowing that there's going to be negotiation that's going to take place and there might be rejection. And how you accept that rejection is really important, but it's setting the ground for that next conversation. That's why
I'm going to stop you right there, Gail. If you want more, you got to attend the conference. How do people find out about conference and tickets, et cetera? Let us know. I'm going to cut you off there. That's what we call a cliffhanger, everyone.
First of all, we'd love to have everybody at the conference, anybody who wants to be there. And you can go to www.stateofthewoman.com. And all the information will be out there. Let's Consult is proud to be the host and the presenting sponsor. And if anybody needs to reach me, my email address is gletts, L-E-T-T-S, at letts-consult.com.
Gail, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It really has been a pleasure, and I wish you much more continued success with both your conference and, of course, Let's Consult. And to the audience, as always, if this is your first time here, by the way, for the audience, and you haven't hit that subscribe button and you need an invitation, here's your invitation. Hit that subscribe button. We have great content. We have great speakers, great guests, and many more on the way. So we want you to definitely get those notifications and be part of our community. So hit that subscribe button. And if you're really friendly and feeling good, then leave us a review if you enjoyed this. Really appreciate it. And Gail, seriously, really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate it.